Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Evelyn, thank you very much. Do keep that passage open and let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask now that as we come to look at this bit of the scriptures, please would we hear your voice, and please would your spirit come and take your word and teach your hearts. May it teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask, have you ever had a sleepless night worrying about something? There's a few smiles in the room. Have you ever had that moment where something just goes over and over and over and over again in your head? Insomnia, apparently, one in three people struggle with it in their lifetime. Of course, connected to that is often anxiety. 37% of women, 29% of men report high levels of anxiety. Now, what causes us to have those sleepless nights? What causes us to be anxious? It can be something about ourselves that we're struggling with and we're concerned about. It can be concern about a family member, be a parent or a grandparent, a spouse, a child, a grandchild. Or maybe it's something at home. Maybe it's the fear of the tenancy ending or the repossession, or maybe it's those finance issues. How am I going to pay the bills? Or maybe it's a health issue. It's that you don't know what that next test from the doctor's order is going to show. Now, before I see how David handles that, firstly, can I say, if you're acutely struggling with any of those things, can I encourage you to actually go and see your doctor? Go and see your GP, have a discussion with them. There is support medically to help you. But there is also a spiritual dimension to this. And that's what David experiences in this psalm. See, the key to this psalm is that little bit in italics. A psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Now, to understand this psalm, we need to understand the background in 2 Samuel. So let me tell you what's been going on. David is the great king of Israel. Do you remember? He is the one who defeated Goliath, the great Philistine giant. But sadly, as time has gone on, everything goes wrong. And do you remember? He committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged for Uriah, her husband, to be killed on the front line. Nathan the prophet comes and confronts him straight on. David confesses his sin. David is forgiven, but he has to face the consequences. And God says, one of the consequences now is you're going to see division in your family. And the result is that Absalom, his son, leads a rebellion. The backstory to this is 2 Samuel 15. David is, of course, in Jerusalem. He is the king. Absalom has a little scheme. He places himself at the city gate, and as people arrive in the city with concerns they want to bring to the king, says this. Absalom says, look, your claim is valid and proper, but there's no representative of the king to hear you. If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case could come to me and I would see that they receive justice. The ultimate politician, isn't he? Promising a lot is Absalom. Oh, my father, hopeless. If you want to get justice, come to me. And it goes on to say, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him and kiss him. Absalom behaved in this way towards all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. See what happened, can't you? Absalom, this is David's son, sitting by the gate, stealing the hearts of the people. After 4 years, Absalom then decides he's going to head off to Hebron. And he says to his father, "Oh, let me go to Hebron and fulfill a vow I made to the Lord." And King David says to him, "Oh, go in peace." And then Absalom sent secret messengers throughout the tribes of Israel to say, "As soon as you hear the sound of trumpets, then say, Absalom is king in Hebron." 200 men from Jerusalem had accompanied Absalom. They had been invited as guests and went quite innocently, knowing nothing about the matter. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Hatifophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. So here we go. Absalom runs off. Now there's a whole conspiracy of the land. He's encouraging everyone to rebel against his father. Civil war is on the cards. And David, it says, to all his officials who are with him in Jerusalem, "Come, we must flee, or none of us will escape Absalom." That's the context of this psalm. David is on the run. He is God's chosen king. He's the king in Jerusalem, but there's this massive rebellion being led by his own son. And David has to leave and flee. And it's into that that he writes this psalm. If you've got a psalm in front of you, let me just turn. And the first thing I want us to see is this. David acknowledges how he feels. Verse 1, "Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him." David is clearly aware of his situation with Absalom. How many are my foes? How many rise against me? He's just feeling overwhelmed, isn't he, at this point? He's looking at everyone going over to his son and he thinks, "Lord, I'm going to lose here." He says, "Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him." Do you know, the first thing that David does is he talks to God about how he feels. He's honest with God. I wonder if this is the first thing this psalm models to us. Are we those who are willing to say how we feel? Are we willing to be honest about the stresses and strains, anxieties? Are we those who can sit before God and say, "This is why I'm stressed. This is why I'm anxious. This is why I'm struggling." If you're here and you're a parent or a grandparent and your child comes home from school, are we going to give them space to talk and admit how they're feeling? Actually, all the evidence is, when we're struggling with anxiety or stress, we need to talk. And isn't prayer a very wonderful way to be able to talk to God? And friends, can I encourage us? Maybe we're not going through this, but maybe you've got a friend who is. Will you listen to them? Will you say to them, let's just do Psalm 3 together and talk to the Lord together? As I was reading this, it drew me to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in his great hour of distress. As he shed blood in the garden, what does he do? He prays. How many are my foes? And of course, for Jesus, what will people say to him at the cross? God will not deliver him. He knows the experience here too. David acknowledges how he feels. Secondly, David reminds himself of truths about the Lord. Verse 3, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me. my glory, the one who lifts my head high. As he's very honest with God, but he then says, actually, God, there's some truths about you I want to remember. Three things here. The Lord is his shield. And notice it's Lord in capitals. That's the covenant name of God. That is the God of the Old Testament. That is the God who's made promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. This is the God who's been with his people throughout all of history. This is a God who's made promises to David just a few chapters earlier in chapter 7 that he will be king and his house and his kingdom will endure forever. And if David knows God is a shield, that's why I began with those verses at the beginning of the service. Jesus promises, doesn't he, to be with us forever. Every step of the way, the Lord is by our side. Jesus promises never to leave us or forsake us. When the world is throwing everything at us, the Lord is our shield. The Lord is with us. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. Do we need to remember that truth? David also says, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory. Think about this concept of glory. David's the king. He's supposed to be glorious. He's the one in the palace. But where's the glory moving? It looks like it's going to Absalom. But David's saying, actually, it's not about me. It's not about him. It's about God. God is his glory. In other words, he knows ultimate reality is found in God, not in humans. As Christians, how much do we need to remember that ultimately God is the one who's glorious? God is the one who's in charge, not these world leaders, the Putins and the Trumps. It's God who is our glory. And lastly, he said, David reminds himself that the Lord lifts his head high. One thing that I've observed is that when people are in those moments of insomnia or anxiety, they think that they're rubbish. And actually, David recognizes it's God who lifts him up. See, on our own, who are we? But who are we in Christ? In the Lord Jesus, we are forgiven. And that Jesus has where? Ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. And we can know that one day we will be with him. I think we're starting to see a pattern here, aren't we, in Psalm 3? David acknowledges how he feels and then he reminds himself of truths about the Lord. What truths about God do you need to remember in those hard moments of life? What truths about God can we remind each other of as we go through the struggles of life? Which leads me on to the last thing. David responds in faith. Verse 4. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. Having expressed how he feels, he turns and calls out to God in prayer. And striking, he answers me from his holy mountain. And of course, he's fled from Jerusalem. It looks like all the power's drained. But where's God? He's on the holy mountain. Ultimately, God is reigning and ruling. And we can remember the same. Jesus is reigning and ruling. We have the privilege as Christians to pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can speak to the Lord in prayer. Secondly, David says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. David, you think of all the anxiety that he's feeling at this moment. And actually, he's able to lie down and sleep and wake again because he knows it's the Lord that sustains him. Now, I'm going to be honest. The Bible does not promise an end to insomnia this side of Jesus' return. But I know from talking to many people over the years that actually they can sleep because the Lord is by their side. They've actually learned that I can put all those struggles to one side and trust God. Verse 6, David has also learned not to fear, hasn't he? I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. I don't know about you, David is clearly thinking about Absalom and his army. But do you ever feel like all these things are piling against you? Thousands of people are against you? I will not fear. Because they're even though they assail him from every side, why? Because who's the shield? God is the shield. How do we teach our souls these truths? How do we learn not to fear? Because God is with us. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a wonderful truth to be reminded of. Nothing can separate us from God's love. How do we help remind each other of those truths? David also knows that one day judgment will come. "Arise, Lord," he says, verse 7. "Deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked." See, sometimes we suffer because of the unjust maltreatment of others. Absalom is treacherous. His father is king. He shouldn't have done what he should have done. I wonder if sometimes we forget the importance of justice to God. We had 80 years, haven't we, of VE Day. I don't know how much you've read or watched anything on this. I read one article about the liberation of the concentration camps. And one padre, one of the chaplains, describing it as damnable ghastliness. Is it not wrong at that point to say there must be justice for this? There are some things in life for which we want justice. Now, we contend for it in this world, but know that one day Jesus will return and there will be justice. People will not get away with it. Judgment is a right and a good thing. And that leads us to our conclusion. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Friends, in the anxiety of life, it reminds us of how God has saved us and the blessing he showed us. A reminder that God loves each one of us. And he's done that in Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus has died for us. Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has brought us into God's family. Jesus has given us hope. He has delivered us. And we look forward to the day when one day he will return and make all things new. And so let us remember now that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. It seems to me Psalm 3 is an incredibly helpful psalm for us to deal with the stresses and strains and anxieties of life. I said, I want to change David here to we. We can acknowledge how we feel. Are we going to be honest with God? We can remind ourselves of truths about the Lord. What truths about God do you need to remind yourself? What truths about God can we remind each other? It's the heart of pastoral care and counseling, saying to people, life's tough. We can't always fix people's problems. Some things are unfixable this side of Jesus' return, but God doesn't change. He's with us. Will be by our side, and he loves us. How much more do we need to remind each other of those truths? And let's respond in faith. Trust in giving our anxieties, our sleeplessness, our fear to the Lord, and responding in prayer. Shall I pray that we might do just that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the model of this psalm. May we be those who also acknowledge how we feel before you. May we remember all we have in the Lord Jesus, our deliverance and our salvation, and all the blessings you give. May we respond trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. It's an old hymn.